Blog Talk Radio.
And I am your host and the founder of Progressive Complete Health. I'm an award-winning and published certified personal trainer, corrective exercise specialist, performance enhancement specialist, and board-certified holistic health coach. You have questions about health, nutrition, and fitness, and we have answers. So every week we scour the internet looking for the most commonly asked questions about fitness and health so that we can answer them for you. Make sure you tune in every week at 3 p.m. Central Time, or listen to our shows archived at any time by visiting our page right here on Blog Talk Radio. Today, I am actually answering the most common questions asked about weight loss according to a poll that we sent out ourselves. So, let's begin right away with question number one. When I'm trying to lose weight, how much should I eat? Well, this depends on your goals, your age, and your body weight. You can very simply go online and find the caloric needs calculator and plug all that information in that I just mentioned. And it's going to give you your estimated BMR, or your basal metabolic rate. That is the amount of calories that you need daily to exist. Your body burns calories while breathing. Your body burns calories while blinking. Your body burns calories while thinking. So, but it should also ask you how active you are on a daily basis as well. And it's going to give you a total calorie expenditure. Now, of course, this is just an estimate. It's not 100% accurate. They don't know exactly how intense you're working. It has a lot to do with your heart rate. Now, if you want to lose a pound a week, you cut 500 calories a day as one pound of fat is equal to 3,500 calories. So if your number, for example, is 2,000, just to throw a nice round number out there, eat 1,500 calories a day, and theoretically, you should lose a pound a week. Now, additionally, you can increase your exercise intensity and frequency, and that will help you burn more calories. Now, I would rarely ever suggest that anyone ever go below 1,200 calories. Now, there are some nutrition programs out there, some diet programs out there that tell you, you can have 800 calories. It's okay. We'll give you a hormone that's going to decrease your appetite. So you only need 800 calories. Your body cannot survive on 800 calories a day for extended periods of time. And that's why they have you go off of it for 5 weeks. You're on it for 5 weeks, off for six, on for five. It's not something that is sustainable, and your weight will yo-yo back and forth. Now, if you want to do all that, that's a lot of math, and it's tracking food, and it takes a lot of extra time. You're writing everything down. You're weighing everything out. Oh, I had 200 calories of cheese today. I had 100 calories of carrots, and I had a cookie, and the bag says this, and writing all that down. It works. Trust me, it works. It's tedious, though. I've done it before, and it's worked, but it gets tiresome after a while, so here's a better way. Eat more whole, unprocessed foods like fruits, veggies, dense whole grains, nuts, and seeds. There's more fiber, more minerals, and just more overall nutrients in these foods and less calories in them. They're going to fill you up quicker, especially if you drink plenty of water. It'll help to, the fiber will absorb that water and it'll keep you fuller longer. Now, you want to make sure that you avoid processed foods that come in boxes, cans, and drive-thrus. So that's the main message when it comes to how much you can eat. if you think about it, you can eat 2,200 calories, you can eat a bag of Oreos, or you can eat a table full of fruits, vegetables, even some, you know, even some dairy products. You can eat all this food and still not equal 2,200 calories by the time you're full. But you eat a bag of Oreos at 2,200 calories, you're hungry again by lunchtime, because that's all processed garbage with extra sugar that's going to spike your energy and then leave you lying flat. So that kind of brings me into my next question. Are carbs bad? Well, yes and no. Carbs have gotten a really bad rap over the years, and I want to squash any rumors right now and set the, you know, set all the myths straight. There are good carbs, and there are bad carbs. Now, I just kind of went over what your good carbs are, but your bad carbs are your overly processed carbs like flour, sugar, white rice, and bread. These carbs enter your bloodstream quickly and boost your insulin production. It's also going to boost your energy temporarily before leaving you flat and making you want to eat more. So what does this have to do with weight? Is that these carbohydrate sources are stripped down of their nutrients, and you're just left with the starches. Now, starch alone by itself isn't bad, but it works better with the fiber and the germ, because that's where you're going to get your nutrients are, or where the nutrients are. The other issue is these foods are used in high quantities as fillers. So they're going to leave you hungry sooner due to their low nutrient content. So these processed carbs, they don't fill you up. They leave you wanting more. And that's not what we want from our food. We want our food to satisfy us. So good carbs, again, fruits, veggies, whole grains like brown rice, millet, and quinoa. Now, if you're worried about gluten, that's a whole other issue. It's a whole other show. But it just depends on the person and how they respond to it. So if you don't have a problem with gluten, you can also add barley and kamut, wheat, berries, if you don't have any of those gluten sensitivities or a full-out allergy. These foods contain the fiber, the germ, and all the key nutrients that they're meant to have and that your body is meant to have. Again, more nutrient-dense and less calorie-dense, they will keep you fuller longer. And another thing about carbohydrates is your body needs carbohydrates to function. There are parts of your brain that rely solely on carbohydrates. Without those carbohydrates, you get brain fog, you get cranky, you get mood swings. So again, it's a matter of choosing the good carbs versus the bad carbs, the whole unprocessed carbs, as opposed to the processed stuff that you're finding in bags, cans, and boxes. So let's go on to fats. Fats were villainized in the 80s and probably part of the 90s, and now fats are good for us again. But are there good fats and are there bad fats? So yes, there is. Just like carbs, there's good carbs and bad carbs. There's good fats and bad fats. You have many kinds of fats that break down into different categories. So you've got your saturated fat, your monounsaturated fat, your polyunsaturated fat, and your trans fatty acids. So your saturated fats typically come from beef, poultry, pork, cow's milk, coconut, avocado, and palm oil, as well as full-fat dairy. Now, some of these saturated fats are a little bit different. You notice that I threw coconut, avocado, and palm oil in there along with cow's milk, full-fat dairy, pork, poultry, and beef. Now, you have long-chain triglycerides in your beef, your poultry, and your pork, and your full-fat dairy items that actually have a negative effect on your cholesterol as well as on your belly fat. But in coconut, avocado, and palm oil, you actually have a medium chain triglyceride, which has a positive effect on your cholesterol and on your belly fat. Now, it's not to say you can go crazy with it. It's still a saturated fat. I would suggest no more than 1 or 2 tablespoons of these oils a day. And the other advantage that coconut oil has is it has a higher smoking point. So if you're going to pan sear something or pan fry something, you're better off using coconut oil because it doesn't turn carcinogenic. So those are your saturated fats. Those are your fats that are not the greatest for you. They're not the worst for you, but you should try to limit those to no more than probably 20 grams a day, if not less. But again, even with the coconut, the avocado, and the palm oil, one to two tablespoons a day is really all you need. Because with the beef, the poultry, and the pork, they potentially increase your risk of heart disease. So now you've got your monounsaturated and your polyunsaturated fats. Your monounsaturated fats are avocados, olives, olive oil, nuts, sunflower seeds, sunflower oil, halibut, sable fish, mackerel, and then vegetables are high in oleic acid. These are generally considered heart healthy. These foods should be eaten daily. They raise your good cholesterol and they lower your bad cholesterol. Also under unsaturated fats are polyunsaturated fats. That's your salmon, your sardines, your mackerel, herring, kraut, fresh tuna, flaxseed, walnuts, flaxseed oil, and even organic soybean oil. Again, be careful with these oils and heating them, but use them on salads. These are your omega-3s that you hear so much about, your omega-3 fatty acids. So they're generally considered heart healthy, and you should strive to eat cold water fish three times per week and plant-based polyunsaturated fats as often as possible. These also raise your good, your HDL cholesterol, and lower your LDL cholesterol. The omega-3 fatty acids are considered anti-inflammatory and are associated with lower risk of death and lower risk of pain. Next, we have your fats that are just bad for you. Your trans fatty acids. Now, a lot of states have actually banned trans fatty acids. You're not finding these as much, but you're still going to find them in margarine, processed foods, candy, chips, soda, believe it or not, flaky pastries, and even some peanut butters. This is something that you want to entirely avoid, and you want to, how do you know that it has trans fats in it? It will say partially hydrogenated oils listed on the ingredients. It may say trans fat, zero. But, little marketing gimmick, if it's less than half a gram, they don't have to list it. But if it says partially hydrogenated oils listed on the ingredients, there are definitely trans fats in there. And even at small amounts can be dangerous for your health because it raises your bad cholesterol and it lowers your good cholesterol, which leads to plaque buildup in arteries and increased risk of heart disease. So that is a lot to take in. Polyunsaturated fats, monounsaturated fats, go for it, okay? Trans fatty acids, stay completely away from them if you can. Saturated fats, try and get your saturated fats from coconut, avocado, palm oil. Reduce your consumption of beef, poultry, or pork, and get limited amounts of saturated fat from those areas. There are mixed opinions about saturated fats. It's generally recommended to limit consumption of your red meats and your butter, especially if you go by what the World Health Organization just said about red meat. That's something else that can play into it as well. So, next question. How often should I work out? Again, it depends on your goals. If you're trying to lose weight, I recommend generally 2 to 3 full body strength training workouts per week, along with 3 to 4 bouts of 30 to 45 minutes of cardio. Let me say that again. If you're trying to lose weight, I recommend 2 to 3 full body strength training workouts, that's with weights, resistance bands, medicine balls, body weight, however you can do it, resistance training, along with 3 to 4 bouts of 30 to 45 minutes of cardio. Now, the recommendation is 150 minutes of rigorous activity per week. This will definitely get you there. But why all this strength training? Well, the strength training creates little micro tears in your muscles, and your body actually burns calories to repair them. So this creates stronger, more balanced muscles and reduces your chance of injury during higher intensity and impact exercises like running, jumping, biking, or Zumba. Yeah, I said Zumba, but cardio is going to give you more bang for your buck when it comes to calorie expenditure. If you hate cardio, try a high-intensity interval training class and get the best of both worlds. So that's where you're getting your heart rate up, but you're also using weights as well. I'm going to talk even a little bit more about that in a bit. Let me take a sip of my coffee here, and I'll be right back with you. Staying in line with exercise, what is the best exercise for weight loss? This is the big question that everybody has for me. What is the best exercise? What is the best program? What's the best DVD? What is going to work? My answer? Anything that you are going to stick with. Sustained weight loss and true health. It's not a 90-day challenge or 7-day detox. Yeah, we do them at our studio too, but they're meant as a kickstart to a lifestyle change. If you go lift weights and run and you lose 30 pounds and hate it, you won't stick with it after you've met your goal and then try to maintain that weight. Honestly, the hottest thing right now is the small group fitness classes, which I was just talking about. Different classes all day long that you can pop in and out of anytime you want for one flat fee with the price of your membership. It's more affordable, more fun, and you make friends. And it's the main idea behind our business model that we're trying to put together right now. People find classes that they like and they make friends. They may start coming to a class just to see a particular person. So you end up with 7 to 10 workout buddies. They're going to keep you on task. They're going to keep you coming and keep you more on task time and time and time again instead of just doing some 90-day thing and then you're done with it. Now, some people come to two classes on the same day. That's how much they love this stuff. They also get a designed workout that they don't have to think about. How many times have you gone to the gym and you've poked around at this machine, poked around at that machine, not really knowing what to do or what you should be doing, not really wanting to pay a personal trainer either, because personal trainers can run you anywhere from $50 on up to $120, depending on their experience and depending on their level of education. But let's say for $100, you can come to one class every day, have a workout that's already pre-written that you just follow along with. You can do that every day. You can do it 5 times a day for 30 days out of the month. Just think about that. So you get these designed workouts that you don't even have to think about, and it's more effective that way. So again, the best exercise for weight loss is anything that you're going to stick with. If you like Zumba, do Zumba. I don't have anything against it. You do want to correct some muscle imbalances first because you don't want to risk injury, but work your way up to those things. If you enjoy weightlifting, weightlift. If you enjoy running, running. But if you don't enjoy it, don't do it. Find something, some other form of exercise that you're going to stick with. The next question is, how do I reduce belly fat? It's simple. You lose weight. There are many companies that are going to tell you that there's this magic cure that they have with their product, and it's going to help spot reduce. It's crap. Complete crap. Your body is going to lose weight from wherever it wants to in no particular order. You just have to keep working, and with muscle building, you're going to accelerate that process. Now, for men, belly fat is usually the last to go. For women, it's usually hips and butts is where the weight is last to go. It's just how we're programmed. Now, sometimes food sensitivities can cause a bloated look. So your top food allergy or sensitivities include soy, wheat, dairy, eggs, fish, shellfish, and nuts. Let me go through those again. Soy, wheat, dairy, eggs, fish, shellfish, and nuts/peanuts. You may want to try an elimination diet and see if any of these are affecting you. Elimination diet, you get rid of all this stuff for a couple of weeks. You slowly add one thing back in. So let's say you add wheat back in. If you were feeling okay for 2 weeks, you notice you had less bloating, and then you go back and eat wheat again, and it bloats you out, you know you have a sensitivity to wheat. So stop eating wheat or limit your wheat consumption. If there's no effect, go back off of the wheat, then try adding soy back in for a few days. See if that works. Now, I'm not talking about, like, soy additives and stuff like that. I'm talking about whole soy products, soy, you know, organic soybeans, organic tempeh, natto, and even organic tofu. And do that with each one of these things, the soy, the wheat, the dairy, the eggs. Go off of all of them for 2 weeks. Bring one back in for 3 days. See if your body has a different reaction to it. So that way you can find out if these things are affecting your belly bloat. For some people, it's the truth, but not for everybody. And remember, there's a difference between a gluten sensitivity and being truly celiac or gluten allergic. We'll go over that one of these days. So, this brings me to what diet is best. What diet out there is best? You probably could have guessed by now that I'm not going to say that some particular diet is best. Atkins is best, or can't even think of anything right now. Weight Watchers or Food Lovers, any of those are best. I hate the word diet because it suggests something short-term and restrictive. I am more a fan of lifestyle change, choice. The more unprocessed foods, the better. I also don't like to necessarily label it. If you ask me what I follow, I'll tell you that I eat a mostly whole food, plant-based diet. There are some vegan meats that I eat from time to time, and on occasion, some dairy. Say if I'm at a party, I'm not going to throw my arms all over the place, oh my God, there's nothing here for me to eat. If I'm truly that hungry, I'll eat something, or I'll try to eat before I come. So the paleo diet is another nutritional path that kind of showcases unprocessed foods. Now, it may be a bit limiting, because it doesn't allow for dairy, and it doesn't allow for like beans and stuff like that too, which I'm a big fan of. Since I don't eat any meat, I need my beans for my protein. But the main point is to eat foods that are there in their whole form. So that is the one thing I do like about the paleo lifestyle. But the bottom line is find what works for you. Different things work for different people. You have to play with it until you find what specifically works for you. But the one thing that works for everybody, whether it's eating meat or dairy or just vegetables or just fruit, is that you need to eat more whole, unprocessed food instead of processed food-like items. So less chips off the shelf, less cupcakes, less things that are made partially with food and partially with chemicals. And if you're having problems, we specialize in that as with our health coaching and helping you find a nutritional path that works specifically for you. Now, what if you tell me that you've done everything that I've said, but you've also heard about hormones being out of balance? Is there any truth to that? Well, lots of things can affect our hormones, from what we eat and drink to environmental factors and stress. Women do have it worse, to be honest with you, due to childbirth and later menopause. But Dr. Sarah Gottfried wrote a book and has a great website. And the basics of it are to eat healthy whole foods, as I just mentioned, with focus on whole fruits, veggies, and whole grains, reduce stress, and reduce chemical toxicity in your home. So using more natural cleaners, more natural nail polishes, and the more natural stuff in your home, the better. Now you can check her out at Sarah, that's Sarah without the H, S-A-R-A, Gottfried, G-O-T-T-F-R-I-E-D, MD.com, and then you can check us out at GoProVeg.com for workout videos, recipes, and success stories. So no show next week. It's going to be Thanksgiving, and I'm going to be running around like a nut trying to make healthy food for the holidays. But we will return the following week with how to avoid that holiday weight gain. So join me Wednesday, December 2nd at 3 p.m. or listen archived at any time. And until then, may your life be filled with peace, balance, and harmony. Namaste.
That's all.